Good morning. This is the time of our service, of course, where we focus on the Lord's Supper. We focus on the cross of Christ, and that's, of course, what the Lord's Supper is intended to do, to get our thoughts thinking about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And we've been talking about how, you know, the cross addresses really every issue of our life. It's the answer, I think, to every question we have. It's the example we're to follow every situation we find ourselves in. And so we've talked about so many ideas where the cross just really shows the way. It sets the example of how we are to behave in the situations of our lives. And today I want to talk about how the cross helps with loneliness. And I want to talk about two things in particular I think the cross does for us. Number one, the Lord's Supper, which is about the cross, reminds us about what a lonely life Jesus lived. And we should think about that when we realize that we are lonely or we're struggling or we're having a tough time in our life. Number two, the Lord's Supper reminds us that we are not alone, even though we may feel lonely and we may not have all the things and the relationships in this world that we desire to have. Really, we're not alone, especially if we're Christians. Number one, the Lord's Supper reminds us about the lonely life of Jesus. The cross, I think, more than anything else, illustrates how lonely it was for Jesus in his time here on earth. I think you could say that he lived, even though he was the Son of God, the most lonely life that was ever lived. For example, Isaiah 53 says, he was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And look at this, it says, I think it's talking about all mankind collectively. What did we do? We hid our faces, as it were, from him. We were ashamed to be identified with him, at least at some point in our life, when we rebelled against God. You come to the gospel stories. In John chapter 1, it talks about how in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word, of course, is Jesus. And then it goes on to say, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. That's sad. That he created this world. He created every human being. But human beings generally do not appreciate him for who he was. Then the next verse goes on to say, he came to his own, I think talking about the Jewish nation, and his own did not receive him. Jesus was constantly rejected. He went to his hometown in Luke chapter 4 in Nazareth, and they kicked him out of the city, and that was actually the first time the Bible talks about a threat was made against his life. We all love our hometowns, right? You know, my mom and dad are gone, and so there's no one really there for me to go back to see. But I love my hometown, and I would like to go back and see Columbus, Mississippi. But what if I went back and I visited the church, and they kicked me out of town, and they put up a fence at the city limits and said, you're not welcome here anymore. That's what they did to Jesus, in a sense. There's even one story where his mother and his brothers and sisters kind of separated themselves from him. They were worried about him. They thought he was losing his mind. And then he chose these 12 men to be his constant companions, and one of them betrays him with a kiss. And right after that, it says all the rest of them forsook him and fled. They were ashamed to be identified with Jesus. And Peter, one of his closest, denied that he even knew who he was, denied that he even knew his name. Jesus could have felt loneliness. But the greatest loneliness of all was when God the Father forsook him. And as he was dying on the cross, as he was bearing our sins, it says Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I don't think any of us can relate, begin to relate to that darkness that Jesus felt and that loneliness of that moment. Being one so righteous and yet having to bear the sins of the whole world and to have the great God, holy, holy, holy Father in heaven, turn his back on him. To apply this first point, Hebrews 12, look at verse 3 at the end there. It says, we don't have to become weary. We don't have to become discouraged. When we feel our times of loneliness, what it says we should do is look unto Jesus. Some versions there say, fix your eyes on Jesus. When we feel forsaken, when we feel that we're having a tough time, when we feel that, you know, people are mistreating us, think about what Jesus went through. And that's what the Lord's Supper is intended to do, to cause us to go back to Calvary and think about his darkest, his most lonely moment when Jesus was dying on the cross. But number two, the Lord's Supper reminds us that we are not really alone. We don't have to feel that deep, dark loneliness. Because what the Lord's Supper is, one of the words that's used to describe it in the New Testament is the word communion. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not communion with the blood of Christ? The bread we break, is it not communion with the body of Christ? Look at this, he says, we, even though we are many, we are one bread and we are one body, for we all partake of that one bread. The idea of communion, the word communion means, it's elsewhere translated fellowship. And it just means we share something in common. We have something in common. And that's true of us as a congregation, that especially when we take the Lord's Supper, we're reminded of this commonness that we have. If you look at verse 17, it says, even though we're many, we are one bread and one body because we partake of that one bread. The Lord's Supper is something that really reminds us of we're a part of a community. We're not alone. If we're Christians, we don't have to be lonely because we're a part of the church. It's like in our conversations, we use the term, we talk about someone's a blood relative. And what we mean by that is that we're actually flesh and blood. We're the same physical family. There's something unique and special about that that's different from someone who's adopted into a family even, or someone who's related by marriage, or someone who's just an acquaintance. A blood relative is someone that we're connected to. We have the same blood, literally, flowing through our veins, the same family. And that also can present its challenges, because we choose our friends, we choose our acquaintances, we choose our spouse, we don't choose our blood relatives. We're born into a family, but nonetheless, there's something very, very special and always will be very precious about that. That's really what he says. If you look at it in verse 17, he says, we are one bread, we are one body. Though we're many, we are one because we partake. When we eat the bread and we drink the cup that represents the blood, we have the same blood, we have the same body flowing through everyone who's partaking of it at this moment. And so the Lord's Supper service really is designed to help us appreciate our community, our fellowship that we have as a congregation. I want to do it a little different this morning. I'm going to ask the men who serve the bread, please stand at this time and get the trays, if you would, please. And I want you to go ahead and pass the bread to everyone in the auditorium who's going to partake this morning. And when you get your piece of bread, I want you to hold on to it for a moment, okay? Go ahead, pass it out, please. So take your piece of bread. And before you place it in your mouth, I want you just to hold on to it for just a moment. Because I want to illustrate this idea that we are doing this together. And it's like this blood and this bread, it's something we have in common. And so bear with me on this for a moment. Maybe it'll cause us to think about it. I got an interesting email this week. It was from the preacher in Middleburg. There's a young man there who lonely because he had to break up with his girlfriend because they didn't have the same faith. And so Joe Shane sent out a letter to me and many other preachers, I guess, and churches saying, do you have any, young ladies in your congregation in their mid-20s? Send a picture of the guy. He's lonely. He wants to find, and it's important to find. And Joe was very apologetic about this. He was like, I'm not starting a Christian dating service here. And I wrote back and I said, no, I think this is totally appropriate. He needs to find someone, that can support him in his faith. And they were trying to support him because he had to make a tough decision and break up with his girlfriend. And so I wrote him back and I told him that. And we were discussing it around the house. It is kind of a strange thing. And Riley said, you should write him back and tell him, you don't have to be lonely with farmersonly.com. Okay. Riley's going to learn not to open his mouth because anything he says that's related to the lesson, I'm going to share it. But it's amazing how popular that commercial is. I just can't believe there's that many farmers, ranchers, and Good old country folk, I think it says. But the point of this is, you know, if we're lonely, we don't have to be lonely. Because we're part of a family. We have this very real and special relationship. And y'all can come on now and put the trays here. Get you a piece of bread. That we enjoy in Jesus Christ. In the story we talked about earlier in Matthew 12, you know, his mother and his brothers actually were disowning him. They were embarrassed about him. They were ashamed of him for a moment. Y'all go ahead and sit down if you would. Because they thought he was crazy. They thought Jesus was crazy because of the things he was saying and what he was doing. And Jesus answered the ones who came and said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother." You know, my mom and dad are gone, but I have mothers and brothers and sisters right here in this auditorium, and we all do. And it's when we take the Lord's Supper, it says, that we all share in this same life, this same flesh and blood. And so we're going to say the prayer, and then we'll all eat the bread at the same moment together in our service this Sunday morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven,